So just relax, close your eyes, relax, get comfortable. And just, no, well, first is a little taking refuge first, at the top of the page. I take refuge in the three jewels, may I become a Buddha to benefit all. I take refuge in the three jewels, may I become a Buddha to benefit all. I take refuge in the three jewels, may I become a benefit of all. So if anybody has taken an empowerment, you manifest just yourself as a Buddha. A particular Buddha. If not, you just imagine Buddha above your crown, okay? Just above your head, facing the same way as you. Just imagine. So now, imagine on your tongue, you imagine the Sanskrit syllable R. So clearly, if you don't speak, we can't see it in Sanskrit or Tibetan. We just see the letters A-H. Just imagine this R standing upright on your tongue. And then you imagine it turns into a moon disc, which is like a flat white cushion, a moon disc. Then on top of that moon disc is a white om standing upright. Om, O-M, standing upright on the moon, on your tongue. So now you just have to imagine here, because we don't know these Sanskrit syllables. You imagine that it's surrounded by all the white vowels, the Sanskrit vowels circling clockwise. Just imagine, standing upright on your tongue, on the moon disc, surrounding the om. Then counterclockwise, anticlockwise, you now visualize all the red consonants, clockwise, counterclockwise, around the white vowels on your tongue, standing upright. So now surrounding the red consonants are the blue, as Rinpoche calls it, the dependent related heart mantra, the mantra of dependent arising, which is helping us realize emptiness. So there's all these blue syllables clockwise around the red consonants, which are anticlockwise around the white vowels, which are all around the white om on the moon disc on your tongue. So now imagine light beams go out from all these syllables to all the 10 directions, or north, south, east, west, northeast, northwest, etc., and up and down, to all the 10 directions. And what you imagine what it does, these light beams go out and it hooks the blessings and the power of speech of all the holy beings in the universe. All the Buddhas, all the Bodhisattvas, all the great sages, the power of their speech, imagine this, hooked by this light. And this includes all the power, as Rinpoche says, all the power of all the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas and those living in all the practicing dharmas, all even the great yogis, all those who've got the power of speech, which comes from, or the power of words of truth, all of which have great power in their speech. And due to this power, due to their abiding in silence, or of living in the morality of abstaining from the negative karma of speech, those four we mentioned before, their speech becomes super powerful. You know, when we say people are charismatic, that's what we mean. They open their mouth, people just listen to them. Some people have that power. Their speech is useful. And that's why if they're harmful speech, if it's harmful, they can really be so destructive to the world. You know? So all this power of this speech is hooked by all the light coming from the syllables on your tongue, and all the light comes back with this power and absorbs into your syllables on your tongue, making them all even more radiant and more marvelous, the red and the white and the blue letters on your tongue, full of this amazing power now. Imagine this. So now, at the bottom of the page there, as we recite the vowels, we visualize nectar, white nectar, pouring down and up indeed from the vowels on your tongue, filling you completely with this white nectar and the blessing of all these vowels. And you imagine you're completely purifying all the nonsense of your speech, like we sort of did earlier today. This time, you know, you're visualizing purifying all your harsh speech, your negative speech, your vague speech, your wishy-washy speech, your rubbish speech, your arrogant speech, the lying speech, all of it, all the nonsense of our speech that makes a mess of ourselves and others. You imagine all of this and all the imprints of all of this since beginningless time is completely purified by this blissful nectar filling us as we recite the mantra, recite these syllables. Om, ah, ee, oo, ri, ri, li, li, o, ao, ang, ah, swaha. Om, ah, ee, oo, ri, ri, li, li, o, ao, ang, ah, swaha. Om, ah, ee, oo, ri, ri, li, li, o, ao, ang, ah, swaha. Full of this white nectar. Completely purified all our nonsense speech. Sorry, it's wrong, I think. It's supposed to be the body. It's supposed to be... I'm sorry. Never mind. Just imagine instead of the speech, it's the body. Start again. So that's purifying all the body. It's always... Yeah, sorry about that. So all the imprints of all the rubbish of our bodies. The killing, the stealing, the cheating, you know... All of the stuff we've done to sentient beings, to harm sentient beings with our bodies, since beginning of this time. Purified by this white nectar. We'll just say it one more time. Om a a e e ri ri. Om a u u ri ri li li e o a ang a swaha. So imagine all the imprints of all the harm we've ever done since beginning of this time with our bodies. And if it makes sense to you to even think, you know, Buddha would say, of course, you've had countless past lives. You've been worms and animals and tigers and whales and sentient beings. And, of course, mostly animals do the most harm with their bodies. Humans are pretty clever, but animals live by harming sentient beings. They live by eating each other and being eaten, living in this utter terror of the suffering of their minds, you know. So think of all this harm we've ever done, all the karmic imprints of all the harm we've ever done to sentient beings with our bodies, instantly purified by this blissful nectar filling us, white nectar. So now, as we recite the consonants, the red consonants, we now visualize all this red nectar flowing from the consonants, filling our bodies completely, and this time purifying our speech. All the nonsense speech since beginningless time, especially, of course, as humans. Totally purifying as we recite these consonants. Om ka 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 ga na cha 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 ja nya. Ta 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 da na, pa pa ba ba ma, pa ta two tas. It's supposed to have dots under them. Ta 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 da na, ta 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 da na, pa pa ba ma ma, yara lava sha sha sa haksa swaha. Om ka 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 ga na, cha 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 ja na, ta 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 da na, ta 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 da na. Pa pa ba ba ma yara lava sha sha sa haksa swaha. Om ka 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 ga nga cha 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 ja nya ta 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 da na pa ta 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 da na pa 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 ba ma yara lava sha sha sa haksa swaha. Full of this blissful, blissful red nectar. Totally purified. All of our speech. How amazing. So now, we now recite this dependent-related heart mantra related to dependent arising, related to emptiness. And we visualize blue nectar pouring throughout our body, filling us completely, and it purifies, of course, it purifies the mind, the ego grasping that believes in the self-existent me, which is the source of all the problem, which gives rise to the attachment, that bottomless pit of neediness to get what that me wants, which then gives rise to the panic of aversion and anger and despair and depression and the rest when it doesn't get what it wants and all the other nonsense neuroses as a result. All of this instantly purified by this blissful blue nectar as we recite this mantra. Om ye dama he tu pabawa he tunte shantatagato yevedate shanchayo niroda evamvadi maha shamanaye svaha. Om ye dama he tu pabawa he tunte shantatagato yevedate shanchayo niroda evamvadi maha shamanaye svaha. Om ye dama he tu pabawa he tunte shantatagato ye vedate shanchayo niroda evamvadi maha shamana ye svaha. And mind completely purified. How amazing. For this blue nectar. So now you visualize this dependent relator heart mantra, the blue one, dissolves into the red consonants on your tongue. The red consonants dissolve into the white vowels. The white vowels dissolve into the om. And the white om melts into the moon disc. And then the moon disc transforms into an R. And that R turns into pink-colored nectar and dissolves into your tongue, which becomes indestructible. As Rinpoche says, the tongue becomes indestructible. Nothing can harm or take away or destroy the power of mantra, the power of your speech. So then have very strong confidence that all the power and blessings of the speech of all the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas and the sages and the yogis have entered your speech and that your speech is perfected. Think, I have perfected my speech. And you imagine, you know, one of the results is the moment sentient beings hear your speech, it pacifies their emotional and disturbing thoughts. It benefits them. And also, not only that, but whatever you say, whatever you need, it will get actualized. Your wishes will be fulfilled. You'll be able to be of benefit to many sentient beings because people respect your speech. Imagine this. So Rinpoche says, by thinking this way, the power of your speech becomes marvelous. And whatever you recite, all your mantras and things, are multiplied millions of times, and your speech won't just become like gossip. And by the power of all these mantras, the power of your speech, you know, will not be destroyed. And so now, the end, a little dedication prayer. It's so sweet. The dedication prayer on the bottom of 18. May my tongue have all the power of the ones gone to bliss. By the power of manifesting from these glorified words, may all sentient beings be subdued, and may all suffering be immediately pacified. And whatever words I say, may all these meanings be accomplished instantly. And it's the most cute little meditation. Most unusual. But when you think about it, it has such meaning. Speech is incredibly important in our lives. There's nothing more painful than not being believed, not being heard, not being trusted, not being listened to, not being respected. We know that's one of the worst painful sufferings. So we need to purify our speech, you know, by not lying, by not abusing, by not bad-mouthing behind backs, by not just rabbiting on about nothing and not even speculating. So really respect the sounds that come out of your mouth, you know. And then by being silent. And then also by doing this meditation and by saying mantra, this is what purifies your speech and makes it powerful. This is very much what we need on the Bodhisattva path, you know, to benefit sentient beings. And just in our jobs, we use speech. We help people. We're children, our grandchildren, friends, colleagues. We need good speech. The power of speech, they call it. You know, in the Bodhisattva teachings, in the six perfections, which we'll talk about, There's the first of the six perfections is called generosity. And the first kind of generosity is the generosity of giving material things. Unbelievable. So powerful. But the second kind of generosity, which is said to be more powerful, is the generosity of giving spiritual advice. So, of course, the second one's meant to be more advanced, but I think we prefer the second one. We love giving advice, whether we're knowledgeable or not. We don't like giving things at all. But actually, it's more advanced. And as Rinpoche says, and this again sounds pretty shocking, you could give food to every being on this planet. Inconceivable. Actions of generosity. Unbelievable. But giving one piece of spiritual advice to one person with your mouth can be more beneficial in the long term. Because that one person could get enlightened as a result of that. You know, your advice can lead them in the right direction for countless lifetimes, and in turn they benefit countless sentient beings. Okay, so just relax. And as far as the Buddha's concerned, you know, the Buddha's teachings, let's say, the Buddha's teachings, the greatest gift is the speech. You can have Buddha standing in front of you looking very cute for a million years. What good is that? He's got to open his mouth and give you advice. It's got great meaning, you know. Don't devalue it. And refraining, I think, refraining from, even merely refraining from not harming others with it, especially behind backs, that creates incredible disharmony. And I always think of families, you know, close groups of people, colleagues at work. We just, Buddhist centers, let's face it, I'm sorry. People love to say things, they get upset by somebody, and they love to talk about behind backs. And then, of course, we all believe what we're heard, we all believe what we hear. We never question. I always mention my family. I'm not trying to say we're all saints. We're not. There's quite a few of us, and we're all very volatile and, you know, all speedy and speak a lot and lots of opinions. So when we're children, we all stuck together. So, of course, you know, you fight a lot. And then we left home and come back at Christmas time and we'd fight. Not every time, but we're fairly harmonious, but we'd fight. And once the words are out, the damage is done, you know. It's really powerful. But this last 20 years, we're all old now. This last 20 years, I'd say, because they're all good people, there's this unspoken agreement that we do not speak bad things about each other to each other on the phone, etc. And we do not discuss things we disagree with when we are together. I mean, we have all so much in common. There's so much we can talk about. So we don't fight. So therefore, the harmony between us is quite extraordinary. I see it as we're getting older. Genuine harmony. And even rejoicing, praising each other to each other, which we never used to do. There's just one little group of people, you know. The difference is quite palpable. Controlling our speech. And the thing is to really see the benefit to oneself. We just don't think of it like that. You could be sitting in your own home and you're watching the television, you're shouting at the news, you're getting mad at this and that, or shouting at that person to yourself. No one's hearing you. But you're speaking because your mind's distressed, so it's out coming out your mouth. No one's heard you. But who do you think you've harmed throughout the day? And this is a simple point the Buddha's making, that we're so demented we just don't notice this. Because we think it doesn't matter. You'll be exhausted by the end of the day. And if we don't think our speech is important, we don't think our thoughts are important. This is the one that is most shocking. We really think we've got this private little world in there and I'm allowed to think what I like. And as long as no one knows, then it doesn't matter. This is literally what we think. Or for the Buddha, that's like mental illness to think such crazy thoughts. Every tiny thought counts. Every thought produces the person you become. It's so evident when we think about it. To think that your thoughts don't matter is just quite schizophrenic, quite mentally ill for the Buddha. It produces the person you become. It's so clear. If you're always depressed, always angry, what kind of person are you producing? It's so evident, you know. This is why it's so important to first control the body and control the speech, then we can have the luxury to get into the real job of controlling the mind, you know. This is practice, and you are the beneficiary. Never think you're not. Never think that's inferior. And that's often the biggest mistake among Westerners. Oh, we think, oh, that sounds selfish. Doing it for my own sake. Don't be ridiculous. You know, when you go to AA and give up alcohol, no one says you're selfish. They praise your intelligence. When you give up eating crummy food and start getting healthy, no one says you're selfish. Well, why would you think it in seeing, recognizing that when practicing virtue and morality is for your benefit? At this first level of practice, you are the beneficiary. You must know this and want this. This is what renunciation means. You're sick of suffering. You've got to give up suffering and its causes. You've got to be moved and energized by that. And then you can help others. Then you can really have compassion. We've got to start with ourselves. So let's just summarise what we've done this last 24 hours. We've touched on all the points, that we've touched on all the little pieces of Buddhism in the whole package, you know, we've really touched upon it. The wisdom wing, which is the beginning stages of controlling your body and speech, we'll go into this more. We've gone on to the next level of it, high school, we've gone into looking at the mind, understanding the mind a little bit. We've gone to compassion wing, we've looked at in the beginnings of looking at compassion. So we looked at karma, the mind, and compassion so far. They're the essence of the elements of all of Buddha's path. We've touched on all these so far. And we'll go to another level of it all tomorrow. And all of it's in the framework of how to help others, how to be courageous, and how to have wisdom and courage to be able to effectively help others without burning out, in other words. Because we don't work on our own mind, that's when we burn out. That's when we get exhausted. That's when we get drained. That's when we get tired. But the work we do on our own mind, our own body, and our own speech is the basic practice that turns us into this marvelous, stable, fulfilled person. Then the work we do to help others becomes much more powerful. And we won't give up. We have more perseverance, more courage, more confidence, more wisdom. It's only early. In fact, it's only 7:45. We've only been 15 minutes, in other words. Well, this clock has stopped, I think. What time is it? Oh, that's more like it. This clock stopped. The battery's died. We need a new battery. There we go. We can find one maybe tomorrow. Yuval, you can find a battery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Doesn't mean not now, later. Do it later. I mean, if we're going to have it, might as well work. So I can go by a clock. So, okay, 8:15. So I think that'll do. Do your own thing. Read your books. Try and keep silent. Retreat mode. I call it retreat mode. It's really helpful if you can do it. No one's going to force you. And the thing is, if you want silence but someone else is talking, don't get all kind of fundamentalist and tell them to be quiet or think they should be mindful or something. Just your silence is really internal. When you're really content with your own silence, you won't mind someone else talking, although it's nice that we can all keep silent. Just a recommendation. And go into retreat mode. Do your meditation, do your practice, read something, write your journal, whatever you like, you know, if you'd like to do that. Make it part of the, sort of internalizing the whole day. Just going over what we've done the whole day, you know. And then, you know, when you hit the pillow, make a decision to see your dreams as dreams. And make a decision when you wake up. If you wake up, how amazing, not dead yet. My petrol tank of non-killing hasn't run out yet. How fantastic. Mustn't waste this life. So actively notice you're still alive, which is then counteracting this grasping at permanent me, one of the many lies in our mind. And then decide to make the most of the next day. Hop out of bed, do your practice, come to meditation, have your breakfast, come to the next class, think about things, contemplate the meaning. So seeing as you've all got the prayer books, then we can sing a couple of little prayers if you like.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, darling.
When is it a good idea to do the what we've done, the blessing of speech, first thing before we take refuge?
Yes, often it's I think it's usually done first thing in the morning. It's one of the morning practices, like you see here in this book. There are other little practices you can do to bless your mala, to bless your feet, to bless your speech. You'd start the day. This is traditional. You'd start the day with these. So we see on page 15. Mm. Different mantras. You can do these things. Bless your mala. Bless your feet, for example. Because we've got to stand on creatures and harm them. And then you bless the speech. Yeah, they're really good ways to start the day. Absolutely. So if you want to take the prayer book to your room, that's very much up to you. Borrow it while you're here. You can for sure do that, yeah. So let's see with the dedication prayers. You can sing a couple. Page 233. Okay, we'll just sing the first couple. So we'll say it in English one time and we'll just sing in Tibetan. So page 235. Due to the merits of... So let me just explain, if we haven't heard this before. Merit is one of these words they use a lot in Buddhism. So basically, there's two things, one way of summarising all of our practice. One is called purification. That's like pulling out the weeds. And one is called creating merit, which is like growing the flowers. It's a very simple way to put it. Anytime you do anything virtuous, think of something positive, do something useful, that's meritorious. It's just the term they use. And it's a proactive kind of term, not some kind of holy thing. So due to the merits of these virtuous actions, which means of listening today, thinking, analysing, meditating, may I quickly attain the state of a Guru Buddha and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. And then this little prayer, may supreme jewel bodhicitta that has not arisen in the minds of others arise and grow, and may that which has arisen not diminish, but increase more and more. And then we just sing in Tibetan. Gewa di inyu du dag lama sangye drogyone. Drowa chikyang malupa Dei sala gupa shok Jam chob sem chog rinpoche Ma ke pa nam ke gyo chik Ke pa nyam pa me pa yang Gong ne gong du pavasho. Okay, everybody, thank you so much. We'll see you all in the morning, all being well.